You're listening to Central Time. Enrollment in the Affordable Care Act's federal exchanges starts next week. Ahead of that, Wisconsin's Department of Health Services is notifying residents that there are some serious changes ahead.
And many of these changes have to do with the state's Badger Care program, where over 90,000 people are expected to lose coverage under the plan and require them to seek out a commercial health care plan through the exchanges.
Joining us now to discuss what's going on with health care in Wisconsin is Ed Miller, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. Ed, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Good afternoon.
So we mentioned over 90,000 people on the Badger Care program getting letters this week that their coverage is ending. Did we know this was coming?
Right. We knew this was coming because the governor was one of the governors who refused to take the federal recommended expansion. The expansion in the Affordable Care Act goes up to 138% of the federal poverty line. A court case on the Affordable Care Act said that the federal government could not make this mandatory, and that's what gave governors a choice. And the governor of Wisconsin decided not to take this choice and to move it down to 100% of the poverty line.
So representatives of the Wisconsin Counties Association said yesterday, hey, Governor Walker, take this federal help, expand Badger Care back to these people who are being knocked off of it. Do you think there's any chance of the governor listening to that and doing that?
No. Given what he has said, he is not going to do it. It's more ideological because of the fact is that the expansion of the Medicare, the federal government picks up 100%, the total tab, for 3 years, and then it gradually goes down to 90%. Normally, in terms of Medicaid in Wisconsin, it's actually 58% that the federal government picks up. So this is substantially more than the federal government normally picks up. So the state of Wisconsin is losing a lot of money.
Well, Governor Walker's case in declining it was that, hey, we can't be certain that it's going to continue to be there, the money from the federal government. And we see a filibuster or something like a filibuster maybe starting in Washington today, a vote in the House to defund a lot of the funding we're talking about here. Is Governor Walker right to be leery about making commitments to use federal money that maybe could dry up in a couple few years?
Well, no. It's basically illogical, because what he's doing is he is telling these individuals to go on the exchange. And how could they go on the exchange? Because there's federal money there. There's federal subsidies. And so, in fact, is that they would, on the exchanges, they would be dependent upon the federal government, too. So he's removing the risk for the state of Wisconsin and putting the risk on everyone else. And even with the state, it's not a risk, because if the federal government didn't, and I don't anticipate that would occur, but if the federal government didn't provide the money for this, that's all the state of Wisconsin would say, well, we're not getting the federal money at that time. We would have to revert to 100% of the poverty line.
On a technical level, what is different for someone in a state like Wisconsin that declined this money and isn't setting up its own health exchanges, and somebody in another state that is taking an active role in healthcare exchanges? What's going to look different to them?
Well, the exchanges themselves, if the state was running the exchanges, the state could make determinations about a number of decisions with regard to the exchanges. What we've done is we've essentially let the federal government make all the decisions for the state of Wisconsin on the dimensions of the exchanges. And so there is a certain basic package of insurance benefits that must be covered. But in states that are running their own exchanges, they will make different decisions as to what should be covered. Another example would be some states have decided that they did not, because people are poor, these are relatively poor people, that they did not want to allow insurance companies to charge more for smoking. That's one of the items that an insurance company can charge more under the Affordable Care Act. But the state could make a decision not to do that. And a number of states have made that decision, but Wisconsin can't because we're not running the exchange.
So the Affordable Care Act is being phased in over time. Some of it, as I understand it, is in place already. A lot of it isn't. What's the big next step? It's the people can start applying next week. Is that right?
Right. Right. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of the Affordable Care Act, as you mentioned, is, for example, implemented. Children can stay on their parents' policies to 26. Pre-existing conditions for children cannot exist. No coverage limits, for example, are already in existence. What is occurring beginning next year are the exchanges you mentioned, and that is a big one, and the individual mandate, requiring individuals to have insurance. But the other thing that's occurring as of January is that an insurance company cannot deny insurance to individuals who have pre-existing conditions. Children were covered almost immediately after the Affordable Care Act was passed, but adults were not. And these individuals can now buy insurance.
Governor Walker said actually just earlier today he thinks the president might delay implementation of the individual mandate part of the Affordable Care Act that you just mentioned. The piece I saw just before going on air today actually said no response from the White House on our question about that yet. Do you think that's a remote possibility even?
No, I don't think that's a possibility because there was a bill in the House to delay the individual mandate, and that passed the House, but it did not pass the Senate, and the president indicated he would not sign that. The reason for the delay there, or one of the reasons the argument was for delay, is that the president did delay the business mandate, that large businesses over 50 had to provide insurance or pay a fee. That was delayed because businesses needed more time to organize it. Many businesses provided, so we're only talking about a really small number of businesses that actually fall into this category of not now providing insurance. So it was a very small number, about 6%. But they wanted a delay in that. So the president did delay that until next year. And some of it was it's not so much money, but some of it had to do with the procedures that businesses would have to use to verify that they provided the insurance. And they wanted those revised. So that was delayed a year. And so a number of Republicans in the House, particularly, then pushed for the delay of the individual mandate, and the Democrats said no, and that didn't take place.
In about 30 seconds before we head over to our news break, do you think there's going to be a bumpy ride as the bigger parts of the Affordable Care Act get implemented?
Well, there's going to be some problems. I mean, any large bill, I mean, you can look at whether you're talking about the recent drug benefit, or you go back to Social Security. Any bill has some problems that are not anticipated, and there's people getting around them. There's always ways of people trying to flaunt the system. But over a period of time, incremental changes will iron out those. And I doubt that the big pieces are going to change very much.
We're talking with Ed Miller about changes to health care in Wisconsin, and we want to hear from you. What's your reaction to these Badger Care changes, people getting letters that they'll have to leave the system and apply under the new marketplace? Are you someone who's being dropped? Have you gotten that letter? What will this mean for you? Give a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or if you have a question about the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. Right now, we're continuing our discussion about the future of health care in Wisconsin with Ed Miller, professor of political science at UW Stevens Point. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. We'll go right to your calls now. We have Catherine with us in Appleton. Catherine, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. As mentioned, my name is Catherine, and I am the Regional Enrollment Network Coordinator for Partnership Community Health Center in Appleton. And, you know, Partnership is really on the forefront in the Tri-County area of getting out correct information to the community, in which, you know, the past 2 weeks we've had partnered up with United Way, and we've offered informational sessions when, you know, people can come in. We really give them the nuts and bolts of what they need to know about the law, so that they can share this correct information. You know, specifically a week ago Sunday, the Post Crescent ran a very large article about unwrapping Obamacare, and we were able to go through and, you know, highlight four different aspects of this article on the front page that were not correct. An AP article that ran today in the Oshkosh Northwestern incorrect information. You know, so it's just, it's too bad that, you know, to get the story out, you know, incorrect information is being printed, but then, you know, it's coming back at us where, you know, where we're trying to ease the anxiety of what's to come, but it's so hard when not everyone is on the same playing field.
Gotcha. Thanks for the call, Catherine. Well, Ed, I mean, there's a lot of information out there. It's a fairly big, complicated program. Are you surprised that some bad info might be getting out there?
Right. Well, I'm not surprised, but there's a lot of it, and some of it is just misunderstanding. For example, a pharmacist told somebody yesterday that there would be no more flexible savings accounts, you know, where people put money in the flex account and then use it to pay part of their prescriptions, that was gone because of the Affordable Care Act. And, of course, that's not true. But there's a whole, Catherine was talking about this whole process of trying to get people signed up for this who qualify for the marketplaces, these exchanges, while there's a whole campaign going to take place on the opposite side of trying to tell people not to sign up for it. So this totally confuses individuals.
Thanks a lot for the call, Catherine. I'm going now to Guy in West Allis. Guy, hi.
Hi. My question mainly is, I understand in Wisconsin the 100% of poverty you have to go onto the exchanges, but at what point do you end up paying a percentage out of pocket? Is it 100% of poverty plus 10%, or is it like, you know, $20,000 and then you start kicking in 10% for every $10,000? At what point do you pay out of pocket? Because I think a lot of people are concerned of how expensive it's going to be, which is very true, but if they realize that if they make $20,000 and they only have to pay 10% towards their premium, they may not be so scared about it.
Gotcha, Guy. Thanks. I don't know if you have all those precise
and
numbers.
That's a very, very good point. That you would not pay a lot of it out of pocket because there's subsidies, and the subsidies go up to 400% of a federal poverty line. And for a family of four, that the subsidies end at about $92,000 family income. And so there's a substantial amount of subsidies. The easiest way to figure out your subsidies, there's a number of them out there. The Kaiser Family Foundation has one. They have calculators. And what you do is you put in your circumstances, your income, and a couple other variables it asked you, and it will give you an estimate of what your cost will be.
Guy, thanks a lot for the question. We'll go now to Carl in Madison. Hi, Carl.
Yes, hello. The New York Times just recently ran an article on the difference between how Minnesota is responding to both the federal health care initiative and also other issues that involve the poor, and comparing it to Wisconsin. And in one state, you've got to move toward the common good, to making sure that everybody has the resources in place for a healthy community, unfortunately that being Minnesota. And then you've got Wisconsin, where Governor Walker talks about prudence, but it's kind of a shell game. He's really just throwing people out on the invisible hand of the market, which is either going to be in your back pocket or around your throat. And I'd love the guest's perspective, either on our comparison with Minnesota, or if he's not particularly familiar with them, with any states that are not leaving money on the table, denying their own citizens access to coverage, versus an approach that's much more humanitarian and forward-thinking. Thank you.
Well, I mean, whether it's Minnesota or the other states, the other states are taking federal money, and even some states that are headed by some conservative governors have realized the importance of this money to the state and to their citizens. This will cost the state a lot of money. You think you're cutting back, but in fact, this is going to cost the state. One example would be that in hospitals who see a lot of poor people, those hospitals get an extra payment from the federal government called disproportionate share. And with the individual mandate and the exchanges, disproportionate share is reduced from the federal government. So hospitals in Wisconsin were complaining about this, and given the fact that we're not taking the 133% of the poverty line in particular, whether and it doesn't matter whether we run exchanges or not, but we're not taking that 133%. So what the state is doing is they are making up some of that money through state money, So it's not only the federal grants that we have received, we're not going to receive for the individuals, but also the fact is that the state is putting out this money to hospitals when otherwise they wouldn't have had to do that.
Ed, I wanted to take the long view here. Earlier in the discussion, you mentioned a comparison with Social Security and Medicare. How does the Affordable Care Act compare to those programs in terms of the scope and how big a deal they are?
Well, the Affordable Care Act is possibly larger. It depends how you consider it. Because, in effect, the Affordable Care Act affects everyone really under 65, although it did affect people in Medicare by giving them more benefits. But it's primarily for those under 65. While both Medicare, this is the Affordable Care Act, both Medicare and Social Security was only people over 65. So that is one way of looking at the difference. So it is broader in that way. However, it could also be more narrow because lots of people, the preponderance of people in America receive their health care coverage from their employer. And those employer policies will be minimally changed. So it really affects the smaller number of people. In that regard. So you have to look at who's affected, you know, who's technically under it is really larger, but on the other hand, the changes are really smaller.
And then comparing the political battle over them. Right now, I think we probably take Social Security and Medicare for granted. Did we see this kind of ongoing, years-long political battle over them, too?
Unbelievable. There was a tremendous fight about those as well. You go back to Social Security, people never forgave Franklin Roosevelt for Social Security. And in Medicare, there was a lot of opposition to Medicare. Medicare had been proposed going back to the 1930s. And so Medicare, and one of the reasons that Dingell, Congressman Dingell from Michigan, gaveled this in on the House floor, and he's now the senior member of the House, the fact is that his father had introduced a Medicare bill every single year, and then he had introduced one every single year. So when the Affordable Care Act was finally up for discussion at the time, he was given the gavel to gavel it in. So there was tremendous opposition. The American Medical Association opposed both Social Security and Medicare.
Ed, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
That was Ed Miller, professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point.
Coming up next, Wisconsin Public Radio's own Steve Paulson is here to share some great reading suggestions with us. And we'd love to hear your recommendations as well. You can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time here on Wisconsin Public Radio.